from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 11th, 2022. Hey, Pastor Jason.
Hello, hello, hello.
We'll see how long this lasts. Back some time ago, there was the time where I had a mouse in the ceiling and he chewed some of the wires and so it affected the phone call. And then there was another time, I think, after some major rain, the junction box somewhere out in the street was acting up. So we got disconnected, I think, three or four times. But as I called you a few minutes ago, it got disconnected. So luckily, so far, so good. So we'll just see what happens. Thank you, God, for the technology that I can call you from our home studio and calling you. Are you at home or are you at the church?
I'm at home right now.
Okay, so at home, but thank you, God, for the technology that we can talk and have our Friday program, as has been the case for many, many years. And generally, I like to begin with the scripture verse. And the one that I shared today, Pastor Jason, again, springing on you with no notice, but on Tuesday every week, we have a Zoom meeting for our staff. So that way we can coordinate the Springfield staff and the Fisher staff and the Champaign staff. And we all get on and we Zoom call so you can see each other, and it's kind of fun to touch base and cover different things. But this was a verse I shared with the team. Actually, Holly shared a little devotional thought how God has used the ministry of radio in her life, coming to the United States and then learning English and then starting to read the Bible, and God used radio broadcasts in a special way. And then when we met up and got married, she knew about radio but never listened to Christian radio, and started hearing all the responses from listeners, like how they're being touched or they needed some input or ideas or thoughts on how God might lead them. And don't you know, a broadcast came up on that subject or topic, and she would hear that all the time, and she would kind of marvel until it happened to her one day when she was feeling kind of distraught and unhappy over things and a little confused. And she said it was as if God spoke through the song and then the message and then another song, and kind of brought healing and hope and clarity. And she said, wow, God really spoke to me. In fact, she pulled over to the side of the road and with tear-filled eyes thought, like, God really cares. And so she said, now I understand when listeners write in and say just what I needed to hear, or it was a God moment for me. So she shared that as kind of the devotional thought. And then I thought of this Romans passage where everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, that's just very reassuring. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, you know, this is a verse that many times when you send out missionaries and you exhort somebody to go and be those feet that bring the good news of Jesus, the verse goes on to say, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You know, we need to be out there preaching God's word and teaching and leading. And then it closes with, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so I was exhorting the team, in a sense, their feet as they walk into work, as they walk towards the transmitter and the radio equipment, or walk into the studio, the mere fact that our radio ministry proclaims the good news message of Jesus. We have all these hosts, and including yourself, that divide God's word, that proclaim it, that share it, that many people that tune in can be exposed to the message of Jesus, who he is, and how he is our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. And so it's a high calling that whether they're an engineer or data processor or help in various ways, the radio ministry team is working to get that message out. And so I just said, it's a very unique calling, this radio ministry, that 24 hours a day, the good news message of Jesus is proclaimed, that God's word is taught and shared and divided. And so I just encouraged him that they are also those feet that bring good news, as is anyone that carries that message of Jesus on their heart and mind. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on the spur of the moment, but I thought it's a great verse to remind us all that our feet can be used of God to bring good news into our workplace, into, you know, our home, into the neighborhood. And it's a great one. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's like, wow.
Yeah, well, it really is. And it kind of, it confronts us with some things that I think we really need to remember. Because the Bible says here, right, in these verses that you read, it says, for the scripture says. And so we have to begin there, because scripture is bearing witness to scripture. And so the Bible itself says on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And so scripture bears witness. Scripture becomes its own witness to scripture. What is more perfect than God's revealed word to us? The words that God gave us, the words that he spoke into existence. And the word which we read, John tells us, is an extension of the word that was made flesh. Hmm. The perfect word, God's word, the revelation of God to man. And so it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And so we have to begin with, whoever believes in God won't be put to shame,
mm-hmm.
won't be ashamed. And Paul says earlier, right, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. It tells us who Jesus Christ is by what he came to do. You oftentimes define people by their actions, by what they came to do. And then he says something really fascinating. He says there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. Now, why is that so important? Well, I think on a very kind of flat reading, we would say, well, Jew or Greek, that must mean like people groups. You know, that's one kind of person over here and one kind of person over there. There's the Jews and there's the Greeks. But that's not really what Paul's saying here. Paul is always saying something more than what he's saying. And when he says Jew, he means faithful, because the Jews would pride themselves on being faithful. We're the people of God. We've kept the Torah and we've kept the law. We're the people of God. We're so darn faithful. And the Greeks would say, oh, that's great, but you know what we are? We're learned. We're smart. We've read all the books. We've thought about all the things. We're philosophical. We've mulled over the meaning of life and what that means for us as we live and we work and we do all the things that we do. So you've got Jew, those people who say, we're so faithful. And we've got the Greeks who say, yeah, but we're so learned and smart. And Paul here says there's no distinction between Jew or Greek. You can say that you're faithful and you can say that you're smart, but in the end, neither of those things matter. What matters? Whoever believes on him.
Hmm.
See, the power that we have doesn't begin with who we are. It begins with who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will say, yeah, but come on. I mean, being faithful, that's important. Yeah, as long as your faithfulness begins with Christ and not with you. I know a lot of people. And I've been in seasons of my own life where my faithfulness is dependent upon me. I'm trying to be faithful instead of resting in his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
See, Paul continually in Romans is talking about Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' faithfulness. You know, we have to begin with Jesus. You know, and it's funny because a lot of people come to me and they talk to me about the fruits of the Spirit. And they say, well, patience and kindness and peace and joy. And I said, you know what we really need to do is we need to put the word biblical in the front of those words.
Hmm.
Biblical patience, biblical kindness, biblical joy. You know, we need to talk about biblical justice. We need to talk about biblical love. Why? Because we have a very worldly perception of what those things are. Very Greek, right? Learn it. And we could also, in the same way, attempt to be very faithful in what we think about what those things are. But we need to always start with Jesus. We need to start with what he says about things. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, listen, scripture says that whoever believes on him won't be put to shame. You won't be ashamed as you believe upon Jesus Christ. And there is no distinction between the faithful and the learned. Both of them are leaning upon pride as their strength.
Hmm.
And he says, For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. So he says, listen, it's not about being faithful. It's not about it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the one who will equip you with the knowledge that you need. And Jesus is the one who will give you and afford to you the faithfulness. And context, as I always say, is king. And so that's why we have to actually go a little before the verses you read, Mark, to verses 4 through 8. And verses 4 through 8 say something very fascinating, which kind of uphold what I'm already talking about. It says this, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And so this idea is that we don't have to work to get to Jesus. I don't have to go all the way to heaven to try and find him, and I don't have to go all the way down into the abyss to see if he's there either. That Jesus is available to us. We don't have to work to get to Jesus. We don't have to try to achieve something to get to Jesus. It's not as if we have to ascend to heaven or descend into the abyss to gain Jesus. We believe and we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't like that because believing, they want to get their hands on it. They want to do something because they think somehow doing something will validate what they say they're believing. But faith is not the substance of sight. That's what Hebrews tells us. Faith is actually not knowing and walking into whatever it is you're going into and saying, listen, I don't know how this is going to go, but I know who walks with me.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that we want to do it so we can, I don't know if I say we want to take pride in it, but we want to show that we've accomplished it. It becomes about us instead of about him when we do it.
Exactly, and that is what Paul is trying to combat here, is mm-hmm. that it becomes about us and not about him. And that's the constant pull and push that we get as religious people, because as people who follow Jesus and who enter into communities of faith, which are religious communities, we call them that, the pull is to become people of works. And we should become people of works. And this is the big argument that Paul and James has, right? Because Paul says, no, by faith alone. And James says, yeah, but your faith is dead if it doesn't equal works. But here's the problem. Religious people tend to put works before faith, and they tend to use works as a way to show that they're faithful. And that's not how we show we're faithful. We show we're faithful by walking into things and going, I don't know how this thing's going to work out, but I know who's working it out with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're going to do here, but I know who is doing the work, the real work. And that's why we have to begin with Jesus and not with ourselves, because we have a limited amount of strength. We have a limited amount of ability. We have a limited amount of capability. But Jesus is infinite, and Jesus can do more than we can ask or imagine because of that great prayer of Ephesians, because of the power that is at work within us. But sometimes we tend to lean into the power that we have instead of his power.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if we have access to a 20-cylinder, like highly tuned, amazing race engine, which just growls. And instead we're like, yeah, I'm good with 4-cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we turn on our engine and it's like, bum, 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 you know, instead of turning the key and go, bum, 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 you know, this great roar of the Holy Spirit. Spirit that's inside of us, but instead we're okay. Why? Because when we go bum, 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 at least we can say, I got my foot on the gas. I get to run the radio. I get to turn the air conditioning on. I'm driving.
Oh, you still there? Oh, I just lost Jason. Okay, I'm going to do a quick little call here. You know, I don't know if there's something wrong with the phone lines. I'm looking at the line, and it's showing kind of a red line, so I might have just gotten disconnected. Well, I did get disconnected, but let me see if I can connect with him. I'm waiting for the phone. Okay, the phone is clear, so hold on, listener. Sorry about this. Technology is working in our favor, but there's something that's not working, so I'll call Jason and be right back to you. We're doing the old speed dial, so we'll see how that'll work. Let's see. Let me press this. Okay, hold on. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, well, I just let them all know that this has happened. So, okay, we got you back, Jason. I don't know if you can remember. And I do want to put a little qualifier. You did not know that I was going to share this passage out of Romans. And so what's amazing to me, and it's maybe a gift that you have, that you're able to then just within seconds go to the earlier part of chapter 10, give a framework or, you know, some background information because you just know it. You're familiar with God's word, and then just take us through it. It's not like you had more than 12 seconds to prepare. So I'm kind of amazed, but it tells that you're familiar with God's word. You love to read it and to think about it, and you're very familiar with it. But to be able to put a message together with no notice, just because I start with a few verses, for you to be able to go back and then share some of the context and where Paul and James and some of the thoughts, I think is pretty incredible. But thank you, God, that you're gifted in this way and you love to teach and preach. But, you know, you were just talking about James and Paul, this framework of, you know, following Jesus and not doing it on our own. And a couple things, maybe as you recalibrate where you were at, but I wrote down, we like to measure each other. We like to make those comparisons like, oh, I'm doing better, or look at this person. They're not walking very faithfully. And then we tend to get judgmental, and that's the negative side of turn it into a religious exercise instead of that relationship. We start following these rules, and then we want everyone else to follow the rules and follow them as well as we follow them. And so that's the danger of getting overly religious and forgetting that it's all about Jesus.
Yeah, totally. And I use a metaphor as we get cut off of the car, and that we would rather, you know, have this four-cylinder little, you know, junker, you know, where it kind of goes bump, 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 instead of the great hum of the Holy Spirit, you know, this finely tuned engine that just goes rum, 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 you know. And I said, as we were getting cut off, that the reason for that is because even if we're in the little clunker, bump, 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 at least we get to say we have our foot on the gas. At least we get to control the radio. We get to turn the air conditioning on. We get to sit in the driver's seat.
Hmm.
See, when I'm in that other car, when I'm in that one that goes, rum, rum, you know, that great hum of the Holy Spirit, I'm a passenger.
Hmm.
I'm not driving. You know, and that's the danger of kind of the vernacular that we hear in some Christian circles where we say, well, I'm partnering with Jesus. No, you are not partnering with Jesus. You are in the car seat, in the car with your pacifier in your mouth. Jesus is driving.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want, and that's what we need. We don't need to be the driver, because when we're driving out of our limited kind of abilities versus Jesus, who has infinite abilities. And listen, that's what the Bible says here. It's fascinating because it says, you know, do we ascend to heaven to find it? Do we go down? Well, what do we do? No, we don't have to work to get to Jesus. It's not as if we have to ascend to heaven or descend to the abyss to gain Jesus. We believe and we receive. And then the Bible says this, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart.
Hmm.
See, instead of us having to go great lengths to achieve righteousness by the law, we immediately receive righteousness by faith, by trusting in the word of God and the gospel in Jesus Christ. See, the battle for us in that, try to get in that driver's seat, is we think we can somehow achieve something. And the goal is not to achieve, but to receive.
Hmm.
And we have to be very careful of that, because we are not just in that moment. We don't just become achievers. We become overachievers. And every story I know of overachievers ends with a fall. And every story I know of those who simply receive, they end powerfully.
Hmm.
Those are the stories of, those are those comeback stories we love. Those are those stories that we love where people receive strength that they didn't even know that they had. And they said, I didn't know how I could do it. I didn't know that I could do it, but I knew that God was with me. And that is the story of the Bible. Overachievers who understand at some point during their fall or during their...
Oop. Oh, boy, we only had a few minutes left. I'll try to do a quick call to Jason again. We're looking at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, about everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'll call him right back, and we'll see if we can pick up in our closing 4 or 5 minutes here. Hello?
Hopefully this will work. We just have about 3 minutes.
Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, Lord willing, we'll see. I'll be calling the phone company when we're done here.
So, again, our job is not to drive. Our job is not to achieve. Our job is to receive. Our job is to go on this journey, this great journey with God. The Bible says the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word is near to you, friends. It is on your desk. It's on your phone. You can read God's word. And here's, I guess, where I'll end is with this. That when I, every time I read God's word, no matter how arrogant or prideful I come to God's word, I don't leave it arrogant or prideful, because when I read about who God is and how awesome he is, it tempers how awesome I tend to think I am. I come to his word and I receive something and I realize that it's not my job to achieve, that he has already done everything, that he has given me, his word says, everything for life and faithfulness. Everything that I need is already found in his word and in Christ. And Christ has given me the Holy Spirit to do all the things that I don't think that I can do on my own, and to remind me that I am not alone. And so therefore, we need to remember that, that it's my job to receive, not to achieve, and that it's not my job to be the Jew, the one who goes, look how faithful I am. And it's not my job to be the Greek who goes, look how smart I am. It's my job to be the one who says, I know whom I have believed upon, and I know that he can deliver me to that great day, as Paul writes to Timothy.
And I'm thinking, as we have our mindset calibrated that he's the Lord, we are not, we're puny, tiny little kings that sit on our own little thrones that need to be dethroned, and we need to elevate him. But we can be those feet that bring that good news that he is Lord, he is Savior. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. And if you're new to the understanding that there's a God who loves you, that created you, that made a way for you to have a relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, it's all about getting to know Jesus. He paid the price for our sins. If that's new information to you, oh, we would ask, or we would encourage, we would exhort you to find a follower of Jesus, a Bible-believing church that will lead you in the steps to have a relationship with God. Or you can call an 800 number. They're great people that'll answer your questions about the Christian faith or how to have a relationship with Jesus, how to have a relationship with God. Can you trust the Bible? They'll pray with you. They'll answer any questions you have. It's a very non-threatening call, and you can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM, and they'll talk you through what it means to follow Jesus. We recommend it, and thank you, Pastor Jason. You preach it, you teach it, you have that relationship, that dynamic, ongoing relationship that's growing. So thank you for continuing on this journey that we all should be on, following after God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.